Jesus. He will do it. Some of you all are a witness that he will do it. Anybody a witness that he's done anything for you? Somebody may need your encouragement on today because they're going through something and they really are not, they're questioning right now whether he's going to do it or not. Anybody been there, done that, in that right now? Questioning whether he's going to do it or not? I want to let you know right now that we stand as a witness and an intercessor on your behalf. That he can do it. And if he doesn't choose to do it, you can stand like the Hebrew boys in the fire and say, regardless of what you do, we're still going to serve the Lord. You can stand like Job and say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Come on, you gotta trust him. Say yeah. has got the victory. Let me help you with something. If you don't let go and let loose, somebody's going to praise him for you and yours. So to prevent us from having to praise him for you, why don't you go ahead and praise him for yourself? Nobody's in here more educated than the Lord. Nobody's more bulletproof than the Lord. Come on, you got something you can praise him for. Hallelujah. If you let her go, let her praise him. Hallelujah. Listen, some of y'all ain't used to this, but y'all know I ain't gonna be nobody but me when I come here, right? So this is what I want you to do. In anticipation of what is about to happen, I just want you to look at somebody real quick and tell them, I'm going to finish strong. I don't know what you're going through right now, but you're going to finish strong. Tell them you're going to finish strong. And I triple dog dare you to praise him right now like it's already done for you. Come on and praise him. Hallelujah. I'm gonna release one person right now and let you know that we're on the battlefield, and I'm on the battlefield running for my Lord. That's about to free somebody right now. I'm on the battlefield running for my Lord. So when we do this, if you get that in your spirit and you want to be free, this is that place to do it. Y'all with me? I got it, yeah. Yes, sir! Yeah! Woo! Somebody got it! Yeah! Go ahead, girlfriend! Woo! Jesus, for who you are and all that you've done. We are grateful to you for being the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Hallelujah. Some do not understand our praise, but as was said of the early church, this was that. God, we thank you right now that we are not drunk as ye suppose. We thank you, God, that we've got the Holy Ghost and it's the Holy Spirit on the inside of us that causes us to want to praise you. You have done so much for us. God, we don't have many places where we can express ourselves in liberty, and so in this place, we let you know you are worthy, and we are grateful to you. Would you please have your way in this place? Would you please free somebody on today? Would you please deliver someone on today? Would you set free on today? We thank you right now that someone will be saved and come to know you better. Someone will make a new commitment to you. God, all of this is for naught if someone is not motivated and challenged to be drawn closer to you. We thank you for what you're going to do in this place. In Jesus' name we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the sweet spirit that is in this place. Thank y'all for indulging me. Amen. This is what I've decided. I've decided, because I go various places. I'm doing a graduation next week, and I'll behave, I promise. But I've decided that I am not going to hold back what God is doing. I'm not going to do it. We only have a short time in this life, and we have to do a whole lot of stuff we don't want to do. We gotta go to work. Man don't work, man don't eat. Gotta go to work. Gotta sit in traffic. Gotta do so many things that we don't necessarily want to do. Gotta pay taxes. Just gotta do certain things. How many of y'all want the 33 1/3% just in your pocket? You know what I'm saying? Just gotta do some things you don't want to do. One of the things I don't mind giving up is my praise. I don't mind doing it. It is for his glory. It is for his glory. But can I tell you, it does something more for you than it does for him. Does that make any sense? It frees you up. So you don't have to be the stuffy one that allows everything to stay all stuck up in the inside of you. You know that stuff will kill you, right? It's not in my sermon, but that will kill you fast. You got to find a way to release that. Amen. One of the best ways to do it is a praise. Somebody say amen. 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 It is my pleasure and my honor to be at home. Amen. Shiloh is home to me. And I remember, this was years ago now, I preached when women worship at Shiloh. When women worship at Shiloh. Done a whole lot, but that was one that I remember because y'all are some worshiping folk. Amen. I thank God being here with the women. Help me thank God for the women's ministry and the co-chairs and Sister Bonnie in her absence. Y'all gonna get that woman in Congress, ain't y'all? Yes, sir. I know that's right. I know that's right. I want to thank God right here and right now for the shepherd of this house, because let me tell you, good shepherds are hard to find. And I've been looking, so I know. Amen. Why don't you help me praise God for your under shepherd, Pastor Daryl Armstrong. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. We honor you, sir. Stay right there. Stay right there. Stay right there. Sister Melanie, stay right there. We thank God for Sister Melanie. Amen. She did her just due. She got some kids to tend to, but praise God for her. Amen. Amen. I thank God for my husband who allowed me to be here. Come on, give me a little something, something for him. I'll do my part to thank him later, but y'all can just help me thank him now. Hey. And I thank God for my sister who is accompanying me. Amen. Thank God for Bathsheba. She's been a blessing. Amen. So I'm going to get in and out of the way. Is that all right? I want the Lord to speak to us. It is late. Amen. But How many of you are in expectation of what God is going to do? Amen. I promise not to keep you any longer than the Holy Ghost does. Amen. And then after that, it's between you and the Holy Ghost how long we stay. All right. Amen. So just a second of it, maybe. Just because it's my testimony. Amen. I have the faith that sees the invisible, expects the impossible, receives the incredible. I've got faith. That can conquer anything. Faith that uproots my problems. I've got faith to know God can solve them. I've got faith to vision my freedom. I have faith that can conquer anything. Faith unreachable. I've got faith to find the unbeatable. Yeah. He gave me faith to remove the unmovable. I've got faith that stands the invincible. The 11th chapter. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews, the 11th chapter. To reach the unreachable, faith.
Yes.
To fight the unbeatable, I've got faith. To remove the unmovable, He gave me faith. Even when I don't think I can stand, to stand the invincible, I've got faith. Faith in who you are. I've got faith. Faith in your word and your power. Chapter. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'll start reading from verse 32. He is here. Amen. The word of the Lord from the New Living Translation says, how much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of faith of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quench the flames of fire, and escape death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death. But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half and others were killed by the sword. Some went about wearing skins of shepherds and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. Verse 39, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised, for God had something better in mind. Somebody say, for us. Yeah, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Look at somebody and tell them, strong finish. Strong faith. Normally I try, you can take your seats in the presence of the Lord. I would try to do something different for y'all. Y'all gonna get the same medicine. Amen. Amen. I need to hear it again if that's all right with you all. I have to confess that the topic we're about to go over this morning is rarely one I preach about. As much as I love God and strive to live like Jesus and use my gifts and talents to his glory, I'm not very big on preaching about faith. One reason is because I believe it is often mishandled and misused by preachers who are simply seeking an amen and a hallelujah. I have witnessed countless preachers declare that by your faith you can be healed from any sickness. You can get rich, you can move into a better neighborhood, you can get married, find a job, become your own boss, and any number of blessings you could ask God for, all you gotta do is believe. I've seen preachers prophesy over people's lives that their latter will be greater than their past, that the best is yet to come, that by his stripes they are healed, that they will always be the lender and not the borrower, and that they shall live and not die. I've been there when a preacher declared that even when a sick person could not pray for themselves, the faithful prayers of the saints could bring that person back from the brink of death. And even when a wayward child no longer wants to live right, the prayers of a righteous mother could bring that child back to God. And I'm not judging or criticizing any of what I've witnessed or heard. But if I were totally honest with you, I would admit that I have questioned the authenticity of some of the claims that were made. Oh, y'all shocked now. Y'all gonna look at me like I'm crazy. All right. If I were to be transparent with you, I would have to admit that I've wondered whether the claims about what God can do for me and others are truly dependent on our faith. After all, I have prayed and believed for my family members' healing, hoping and believing God would heal them, and they still remain sick or even die. I have prayed for financial blessings and still remain broke or in debt. Somebody say hello. I have asked God to remove calories from my food. Y'all ain't never prayed that prayer. Judging by the way I fit my clothes, I don't think he has made good on that prayer just yet. But can I ask you some serious questions? How do you reckon having faith in God to do the miraculous or the impossible or the extraordinary when clearly everything you believe for God to do doesn't always happen the way you think it should? How do you keep the faith? How do you still believe in the miraculous power of God when times you actually need God to manifest in your life, he seems to either be on vacation or busy blessing somebody else? How do you stay encouraged and full of faith when no matter how hard you pray or hope or believe, your situation does not seem to change? Or yes, it does change, but it seems to only get worse. Oh, I didn't come here to play with y'all this morning. I came to help you. Some of you think it's sacrilege that I'm even going here. I cannot believe the preacher is talking like that today. But I promise if you go with me, we'll end up in a good place. Amen. We're going to finish strong together. I want to challenge your notion of faith today. I want to deconstruct what you think you know about faith, only to rebuild it in a way that I believe will help all of us see our lives the way God would have us to see them. I want to use our biblical guide, the book of Hebrews, and I love all of Hebrews, but chapter 11 is really a testament of this thing called faith, and we'll move throughout the chapter just a little bit, but I want to focus on verses 32 through 40. In order to make sure we're all on the same page, I must begin by sharing my biblical understanding of the definition of faith. Y'all mind if we go into the classroom just for a little while? This is important because there is a human tendency to use faith in Christ as the basis for deserving personal comfort and happiness. Some preachers and teachers perpetuate this thinking by implying that if we aren't experiencing miraculous healings, if we aren't getting mysterious checks in the mail, if we aren't having earth-shattering visions and revelations, then we must not have enough faith. But this is not the true biblical meaning of faith. Can I help you today? Faith is not some resolute belief that all things come our way, all good things come our way, and nothing bad will ever happen to us. Faith is not our ticket to perfect health or major wealth. Faith is also not some blind leap into the dark where you have to play the dumb, ignorant, unintelligent Christian who is afraid to ask God any questions. I don't know about you, but I refuse to dummy my intellect down because God gave me my intellect to satisfy anyone's perception of what a faithful Christian is supposed to look like. I believe that God is big enough to handle my questions. I believe God intends for faith to be a much more balanced system than that. Instead, I believe Hebrews 11 sheds some light on what faith actually is. Verse 1 tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Can I help you with this for a moment? See, my issue with us, with all due respect to you and me, is that I think when we read this verse, we tend to get stuck on the word things. We read it like this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, which implies that my faith helps me hold on to things that I want, but I just haven't gotten yet. And I understand that interpretation, but when you study the text, somebody say study. And that means when you not just read the verses, but you also read what biblical scholars who have spent their lives studying it say, and then you read commentaries about it, and you read it in several translations, we find out that things is not one of the most important words in this verse of scripture. It's not even the focal point of the verse at all, and some translations don't even have the word things in there. Can I call your attention to the same verse of scripture with a different focus? Faith is the substance, the material, the matter, the stuff, the fabric of my invisible hope. Faith is the evidence, the sign, the affirmation, the indication, the substantiation of what I cannot see. Well, what, or more accurately, who makes up my invisible hope that I cannot see? Most biblical scholars agree that faith is not a confidence or a trust in physical and material things that I have not yet attained, but faith is a confidence or trust in an omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent God that I cannot see. Faith is about trusting in God, who God is and what God has revealed about his character and his will for our lives. It's about believing that there is a God who sits high and looks low, but he's also the same God who is everywhere at the same time, and he's also the same God that meets me right where I am.
My faith is a trust in God, the creator of the universe, the maker of all things, the giver and sustainer of life. My confidence is in Yahweh, the I am that I am. It's in Jehovah, the Lord, my God. My faith is in Adonai, the Lord of Lords. You got to thank him and have trust in who he is. My faith is in Elohim, the God of all. My trust is not in what he will give me. My trust is in who he is. Because he is, I am, and I can be because he is. I'm going to be all right because of how big he is. And not only is my faith and confidence and trust in God and not things, but my faith has substance. My faith is my evidence. It is material matter, fabric. My faith is something that you should be able to see and touch. You may not be able to see my God, but you should be able to see my faith in my God. My evidence is the evidence that my faith is the evidence that the invisible God really does exist. My faith is the actual stuff of my hope in him. That means that there has to be something about what people can see in me that says to them, God is real. Something I say and do on a regular basis should let people know there really is a God. Can I give you a definition of faith that's very plain for us to remember? It's this. Faith is confident action based on who God is. Confident action based on who God is. Faith is what I say and what I do that reveals who God is. It's not confident action based on what God can do for me. Because if I do that when he's not doing what I want him to do, I'm not going to talk faith. I'm not going to act faith because I'm not getting what I want. It's not based on what he does for me. It's based on who he is. That's why I need to read the Bible so I can get to know who he is. The more I know about who he is, the more I can trust him. This is going to be good to somebody today. Somebody was telling me in the back, I never even thought about faith in that way. And I really did have questions and was afraid to ask somebody. Y'all can ask today. Here we go. The more I trust him, the stronger my faith grows. The stronger my faith grows, the more real I make him to myself and to others who don't yet see him. I trust he is real even though I can't see him because his word says he's real. I trust he's all powerful because his word says he's all powerful. I believe he's faithful because his word proves to me he's faithful. Faith is confident action based on who God is. Now, I want to help some in here who may have trouble with your faith because you doubt the validity of the Bible. Amen. I'll share only a quick tidbit with you. This is really class stuff. We're going to save this for later. But I believe at some point in your life, you have to make up your mind what you're going to believe, because at some point you stop and you're just going to believe and it's impossible to change it. Amen. So I'm going to do my little bit right now. Here we go. But not only is the Bible the most popular piece of ancient literature in the world, but some scientists have now found possible rational scientific explanations for many of the miracles found in the Bible, such as the northwesterly wind, possibly explaining why the Red Sea parted. They say literally there are these phenomenons in the environment that are called northwesterly winds. You can look it up. And they blow so hard that they can make a water shallow to the point where someone might be able to walk through them. Scientists will tell you that's not really a miracle. That's just a scientific fact that that thing can happen in the weather and the atmosphere. Well, Mr. Scientist, the fact that it happened exactly when Moses and them needed it to happen makes it a miracle to me. Now, what? There's also this domino effect of a string of real diseases that happened. Something happened to the water, and as a result, the frog dies. And as a result, they can't. The fish-eating frogs died, and the frogs came out because they were overpopulated and all this. So there are real, you can look that up, real diseases as a result of the plagues that the Egyptians endured that caused Pharaoh to let the Israelites go free. No matter what, you need to decide that I'm going to believe in something, because if I don't believe in something, I just might fall for anything. So I'm here to help us with all of this, with all who might be struggling in our faith and our trust in God, because we've been led to believe if we don't have it all together yet, our faith must not be strong enough. I want to help you use the word of God to guide your faith to a stronger place in God, and then I'll be out your way. It would take us a month or two to study all of Hebrews 11. So I just want to point out to you that Hebrews 11 is the best testimony scripture in the Bible. Y'all know when the mother gets up and she says, I'd like to thank the Lord for being here. I'd like to thank him for all he is to me. I'd like to thank him for waking me up this morning and starting me on my way. I'd like to thank him that my bed was not my cooling board. I'd like to thank him that he, and those of you who have my prayer, those of you who need the words of prayer, pray for me. I'm that old. I can't do it. I don't know it. And you shall surely have my prayers. Y'all don't know it either. Y'all are. You shall surely have my prayers. That kind of testimony is right here in Hebrews 11. It's the best testimony scripture in the Bible. The author of Hebrews takes time from verses 1 through 31 when you study it to chronicle the faith exploits of 12 individual people and the children of Israel as a whole. He spends an extended amount of time pointing out their faith in God that allowed them to act confidently by doing some things that maybe someone else would not have been able to do. He goes from highlighting Abel bringing a more acceptable offering to God than his brother Cain. And he goes all the way from there to Rahab, the prostitute, not being destroyed with the people in her city because she could have gotten killed for helping God's people hide and escape, and she did it anyway. And in verse 32, he begins to sum up his all-encompassing testimony that he gave on everybody's behalf by explaining how incredible some of their acts of faith were. He lists some new folks that he hadn't even talked about yet, Gideon and Samson and David and Samuel, and he says that these folks conquered kingdoms, they administered justice, they quenched the fury of the flames, they escaped the edge of the sword, they became powerful in battle, and the women, hello women, received back their dead raised to life again. But if you stop at the first part of verse 35, it seems to leave us out of the loop because it looks more like the same boasting of what someone's faith can do for them. It looks like having the right amount of faith will cause you to leap over buildings with a single jump. But what you need to know is that everyone on that list, it doesn't tell you explicitly, but everyone on that list had some issues that made them imperfect, but they still made the faith roll call. This is the next point I need to tell you about faith. God honors the faith of flawed folk. He honors the faith of any flawed folk in here. All right, then you're in the right place. God honors your faith. In verse 32, the author mentions five men. He lists all five of them and how their faith allowed them to do things like conquer kingdoms and shut the mouths of lions. But what this scripture does not explicitly tell you is that all these men had some serious shortcomings that should have disqualified them from being used by God to do miraculous things. You see, Gideon was initially afraid to do anything and had to be coaxed to do what God called him to do. And even after he had an amazing victory with 300 men over 135,000 Midianites, he still made an ephod that lured Israel into idolatry. Yet this flawed man is on the faith roll call. Barak won a great victory for Israel over an army that had 900 chariots, but he only did it at the prodding of, hello somebody, a woman named Deborah. Yeah, if Deborah hadn't been there, he wouldn't have done it. Now, just know that right now. Power of a woman. Girl power. Girl power. Yeah, y'all the head, but we the neck. Sorry. It is Women's Day after all. Just turn your neck real quick, women. Just turn your neck. Don't go home and do that. They're going to say, what did that preacher do? Samson routed the Philistines on numerous occasions, yet he was tripped up by his lust for foreign women. Yet Japheth, the son of a harlot, was at first driven away by his half-brothers, but later the elders of his hometown pled with him to return and lead them in battle against the enemy. He did that and won a victory, but then made a rash vow to sacrifice the first thing that came out of his house when he returned from battle. And guess who it was? His only daughter came out to greet him, and now he had to commit that vow. He had to go ahead and do that as a result of the vow he made. David was a man after God's own heart. After God's own heart, David is on the faith list. But he had great faith even as a teenager. He defeated Goliath and lions and tigers and bears. Oh my. But he later committed adultery and then murder to cover his tracks. Even Samuel, although a godly man himself, raised his sons, failed to raise his sons to follow the Lord. Now, we can't make light of their mistakes and act as if their sins or shortcomings are no big deal, because they are. And we should not make light of our own sins and mistakes. But this list should at least encourage us with the faith that God uses flawed folk who trust in him. So we don't have to wait to be sinlessly perfect, which will never come, to exercise our faith and do something great for God. The key reason I know this to be true is because in the middle of verse 34, it tells us how God can still do great works with flawed folks. It says that he turns our weaknesses into strengths. Well, I ask you, how does he do that? In 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, it clears it up for us, and it says, his grace is sufficient for us, and it is his strength that is perfected in our weakness. So instead of disqualifying us from the race when we mess up or do wrong, his grace kicks in and jump starts his strength. So it takes the place of our weaknesses and becomes our strength. It is the most beautiful exchange. It is only in these times, that only with this God, that you can literally exchange sorrow for joy. You can literally exchange a broken heart for a mended heart. You can literally exchange weakness for strength. You can literally exchange defeatedness for victory. You can literally exchange depression for joy. Anybody know you got an exchange going on with God? That's some good news. Y'all know we don't deserve to be used. We don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to be alive. But because of the grace and the mercy of God, we're allowed to be here. Somebody say, thank God for grace. I need to point something out to you because I only have one more point. If you'll look at 35, I had to split it up because the first part of verse 35 tells us the good news about women receiving their loved ones back again from death because of their faith. But then right in the middle, it goes but. Anybody see the buts in the Bible? There's some big buts in the Bible, right? But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were in chains, enchained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half and others were killed by the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, not because they wanted to, but because they were destitute and oppressed and mistreated. And some wandered over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and in holes. I want to let you know that there was some serious stuff happening to these folks who had the faith. Number two, your faith will be tested. In this same verse of scripture, it mentions all these things, and we're not just talking about anybody that these things happen to. We're talking about those celebrated for their faith in God. Wait, so according to this, do you mean bad things can happen even to the faithful who fully believe and trust in God? How can that be? If they believe God to be a deliverer, how do they end up being imprisoned? If they believe God to be a liberator, how do they end up being defeated and maybe even killed by their enemy's sword? If they believe God to be a provider, how do they end up destitute and living in caves and holes in the ground? Has God stopped answering prayers? Has God stopped being faithful and all-powerful when they go through? Can I ask you that question? When you go through, your personal and emotional torture. When you feel like giving up on life and nobody knows it because you wear your smile, but late in the midnight hour, you're trying to figure out a reason to wake up in the morning and to get out of bed. When you feel persecuted and mistreated by people on your job, when you feel like you are wandering aimlessly through the dry desert of a rough relationship, a bad marriage, when you are climbing the uphill battle of sickness in your body and your body seems to be turning on itself, when you are drowning so deep in your bills that you can't see your way from under them, do you still feel like trusting in God is the question? Does it still feel like God has everything under control? Has anybody in these times ever questioned God just a little bit? I'm here to help you. Please know that you don't become disqualified from having faith in God just because you choose to feel and get emotional about your tests and your trials. Tests and trials are not supposed to be easy, and no one expects you to go through them skipping and dancing. But you ought to decide for yourself that after you react to the hurt and the disappointment in your life, you got to do something. Yeah, after you cry about your sickness and your financial situation, what are you going to say to yourself? After you realize that your road is not going to be easy, who do you turn to and who do you lean on? Sir and ma'am, if you feel all of your human feelings and ask all of your human questions, and at the end of the day you still trust in the God of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, and you still trust that He is, then you have passed the ultimate faith test. Can I let you know why this is important? Because, listen, God does not expect you not to feel. He gave you those feelings. In fact, He allowed Jesus to come down here and feel what you felt. Jesus Himself had to go through tests and trials. He Himself had to go to a garden and know what was about to happen to Him. He Himself said, Lord, I don't want to do this. God, please let this cup pass from me. Give it to somebody else. I know I'm you, but no. I don't want to do it. Take it. At the end of the day, on the cross, my God, why have thou forsaken me? I know I'm you, but I don't even feel like you right now because I got the weight of the world, the sins of the world on me, and you cannot be all up in sin's face. You cannot dwell where sin dwells, and so I don't feel you like I used to. And so, God, why have you forsaken me? This was Jesus. If Jesus had to go through, you're going to have to go through. But if we want to be like Jesus, we got to say, you know what? Not my will, but thy will be done. You got to let Him know, into thy hands I commend my spirit. I'm putting myself in your hands. It's letting God know that He's in control. You see, God allows tests and trials to come our way because we are not really proving anything to Him if we trust Him while everything going on is perfect. If miracles and blessings abound, then we never get to see Him as a healer or a deliverer. And when we do have those tests and those trials, if He immediately brought us out of them, we would gain some sort of perverted mindset that He always delivers us because in some way we deserve to be delivered. Maybe we would get some sort of entitlement mentality that God owes us something. That's my biggest problem with prosperity gospel. It seems that God is expected to jump and move on our behalf just because of what we say and what we do. It's like we want Him to be our butler. Go fetch that for me. Go get that for me. And we turn Him into a Santa Claus, sugar daddy, genie in a bottle God who should be giving us what we want when we want it. But somebody ought to know, I want to burst your prosperity, name it, claim it, bubble, and declare that God is bigger than the little old agenda that you have planned for your life. God is He is creator of the universe. He's got the whole wide world in His hands. Yes, He loves you and He wants the best for you, but His plan does not just encompass you. The world does not revolve around Miss Pancake Girl or Mr. Applehead Boy. the earth. Isaiah 43 says that all he formed, he created for his glory. It even says that when you pass through deep waters, they will not overtake you. And when you walk through fire, it will not consume you. Notice it does not say that you will never pass through deep waters. It does not say you'll never have to go through the fire. But when you do it, he will be with you. And there's nothing that people or situations or circumstances can do to you that God can't bring you out of or help you through. Notice that he is powerful enough to bring you out every time, but sometimes instead of bringing you out, he chooses to walk with you through it to bring some glory to his name. Sometimes you're going to be allowed to go through so that somebody else watching you can see that you can actually go through something without losing your mind and going to the crazy house. You're wondering, why am I going through this? And later somebody comes and say, your testimony blessed me so much. You don't know what I've been going through, but I've been able to look at you still coming in here praising God, still coming in here encouraging other people when I know what you're going through. And I'm looking at you wondering, how can you be praising God when you're going through all of that? Don't you know that he exchanged my weaknesses for his strength? And because of him, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, sir. So, I'm closing. Your faith will be tested because it's supposed to be. Look at somebody and say, it's supposed to be. Yeah. Faith is confident action based on who God is, no matter what the circumstances look like. Yes, you have a moment to cry. Yes, you have a moment to feel it. Jesus did. You got a moment. You got a moment. But then look at somebody and tell them. Look at them right now and tell them. Look like, act like a bridge and then get over it. Uh-huh. Go on and get over it. You get a moment, then get over it. The last part of Hebrews 11 blesses me because it lets me know that even those we esteem so highly for their faith had to wait on us to receive all that that had been promised to them. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me because it said that they did a whole lot of wondrous things, right? They did miraculous things in the Word of God. But then it says in verse 39, all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith. Yet none of them received all that God had promised. And so when you study it, you can look at those things where they received the promises. And then this is, they hadn't received what God had promised, the promise. For God had something better in mind for us. So while they were going through their stuff, he held back just a little bit because he had us way down thousands of years later in mind. So that they would not reach perfection without us. Can I break that down before we leave here today? You see, when it comes down to God, I love him because ultimately their faith in God rested in a time when they would experience the Messiah. They were waiting on the Messiah to come. And we know that the same God that these Old Testament saints knew, we know, but we have even more because in this day and time, God, the Messiah has come and has already come in that God was sent here in the flesh through Jesus. And now that he's gone, he has left his Holy Spirit. So we can get to know him personally. You don't have to go through any priests, any popes, any. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get nobody in trouble. You don't have to go through nobody to go to no confessionals. You can just get down on your two knees and thank your God and ask him for forgiveness. I'm sorry. I don't mean to bust any bubbles. I know. Anyway, all right. So we should trust him as they did. No matter what we have to go through, because he waited on you. He waited on me. Those folks are in the roll call. Your name may not be written in the roll call of faith, but you're in there because verse 39 says he wouldn't even let them make it to the finish line without you being right beside them. Now, what does that mean? That because they gone on to glory and all that kind of stuff, but they did not get to experience the Messiah because God needed us to be able to see the Messiah and the Holy Spirit, and he had to fully come to give the entire world an opportunity to accept him and believe who he is and trust him and have faith in him. So yeah, Moses, you got a few ups on me because you in the Bible, but I'm right there in verse 39. Brother, and I'm coming right behind you. I want you to be encouraged today because I want to let you know it is not over for you. Whatever you're going through, the fact that you're still here means you got another opportunity. You got another chance. No matter how hard it is for you right now, trust me, it's harder for somebody else. I know that's some people, I don't want to hear that. Don't nobody want to hear that when they're going through. If I gave the mic to somebody and they told you all that they were going through, you sit there and go, oh, okay, I get it now. I understand. Thank you, Lord, for the little bit I got to go through. Let me explain it a little bit like this. It's, one of my students told me about this, a turtle. There's a turtle, and the tortoise and the hare. Y'all remember that story, the tortoise and the hare? And the idea is that the turtle himself, the tortoise, it is naturally made a little bit slower than the hare, right? Just innately made a little bit slower than the hare. But what the tortoise, so all of the deficiencies that the tortoise has, what he makes up for in deficiency is his dependence on his intellect and what God has placed on the inside of him. So I may be innately slow, but what God gives you and me as the little tortoises in this story, as the hare's moving up, the little tortoises in this story, is he gives me, first of all, his word. It was oral back then. They didn't have it written the way that we do. And we have his word to look back on. We get to look, not just that, but we get to look at Hebrews 12 tells us in the very next verse, we get to witness their lives. So he didn't even know, Moses and David didn't even know that they were living their lives so that they could be a testimony to me, to strengthen and encourage me. And so and what ends up happening is when you're in a race, just like a tortoise, when you're in a race, I used to run, my five-year-old and took it all from me. I'm trying to get it back, but I used to run. When you run, you get a little tired after a while. Your legs get a little weak, your lungs get a little weak, you get a little tired. Well, what ends up happening after a while is you end up getting a second wind. You end up getting just when you feel like you can't take it anymore, they call it a second wind. Well, I'm going to call the Holy Spirit, the Ruach, the wind. The Holy Spirit is my second wind. So just when I feel like I can't make it anymore, just when I feel like the race is over, just when I feel like somebody's got the up on me, the Holy Spirit kicks in and gives me a second wind. I'm exchanging my weakness for his strength. No matter where you started in this race, no matter how you started the race, no matter what your deficiencies are, no matter how you've been running this race so far, you can still finish strong as long as you believe in who he is. Because he's bigger than every problem you have. He's bigger than every situation you have. And listen, I really want you to stop doing this. I want you to hear Minister Nikki in your head as soon as you start doing this. As soon as you start telling God the laundry list of everything that you want, I want this, I want that, please give me this, please give me that. As soon as you start doing that, I want you to take on the Jesus mentality and change it all up and say, yeah, that's what I would love, but your will be done. I'd love for that to happen. But I much more want your will. Because if you pray God's will, he probably has something more wonderful, bigger and better, more long-lasting, more incredible than you could ever imagine. God's imagination for you is bigger than what you have for yourself. And you're going to have to go through to get it. Would you mind standing with me right now as we pray? I want you to finish strong. I want you to finish strong. No matter what you're going through right now, I want you to finish strong. Can I help you how you can do that? Can I tell you that? So, I like animals, so we're going to stay with the turtle. Is that okay?
there's a story about this man who was on the beach. And he was on the beach and he ended up at the shore of the beach and he saw a ton of eggs just buried just a little bit on the shore. He thought it was so incredible that these eggs were just there. No little animal watching over them, no mama something watching over them. So he decided to watch them while he was there staying. So he watched them and watched them. He'd go away one day and come back the next day and watch the eggs. And one day when he came back, the eggs hatched. They were hatching right before his eyes and he could see that they were baby turtles. Oh, it was the most amazing thing he had ever seen. So they cracked open and they were struggling out of their shells and they started struggling. It looked like to him to move toward the water. Well, it was just a few feet, but because these baby turtles were so small, they were struggling so hard to get to the water. Struggling. I mean, just couldn't make it. It looked like they were going to stop and never make it. And he knew turtles need to be in the water. So he decided, I'm going to help these baby turtles. And he went and got a bucket and he took all of the turtles real gently and put them in the bucket and he took them to the water and he released them to the water. My goodness, he was proud of himself. He thought he'd done a really good thing and he walked away and decided to come back and enjoy the beach the next day. But when he came back the next day, guess what he saw? Just strewn all over the shore, baby turtles dead. Oh my God, what did I do? He became just really fanatic about it. What did I do? What happened to the baby turtles? I don't know what happened. And so an islander happened to be coming past and knew exactly what had happened. It had happened before. What happened, sir? I don't know. Yesterday, I was here. I saw the baby eggs, and I decided when they hatched, I saw them struggling. They were trying to get to the water, and they couldn't get to the water. And so I went and got my bucket, and I released them to the water. And now they're up on the shore dead. I don't know what happened. The islander said, that was your mistake. You see, the mother turtle knew what she was doing when she laid the eggs up on the shore. Innately, they want to make it to the water, but in order to make it to the water, they've got to struggle to get there. And on the way there, while they're struggling, their little bitty weak legs, their muscles in their legs gain some strength while they're moving forward. Not only do their muscles gain strength, but their organs are underdeveloped and softened. And so as they're moving forward, they get more air in their lungs and their lungs become stronger. So by the time they make it to the water, they are strong enough to survive in the water and succeed. When you take away someone's struggle, you interfere with their success. I want you to succeed. God wants you to make it. And in order to do that, you got to go through something. But you can finish strong. So I want you to close your eyes. Don't worry about nobody else right now. When Jesus prayed to God, he said, I would that they would be one. So I want all of us to make it to the finish line. This is not about anyone competing against anybody else. So if you're praying for yourself right now, all of us are praying together for each other at the same time because we are one. Is that all right? This is what I want to happen. I want there to be two calls, just two calls, and I want you to not even hesitate. I want you to hear the call and answer the call. If you are not saved, if you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to make it down. Or if you are doubting your salvation because you haven't been activating it, you haven't been acting on your faith and telling God and trusting in God, I want you to make your way down to the altar just so we can pray for you. Come on, make your way right now. Make your way to the altar. Praise God for those that are coming. Praise God for those that are coming. Make your way down to the altar. Come on, pray. Pray for those that are coming. Pray for those that are coming. Make your way down to the altar. If you are doubting your salvation, I want you to make your way to the altar. The second call, listen. If you are saved and you know you're saved
But this faith message was a blessing to you because you did not understand that you could be flawed and still have faith. That you could have strong faith and still not be perfect, because the examples in the Bible are not perfect. And so you don't have to be perfect to exhibit faith. If you want to pray, God, strengthen me, transform my mind, give me a new will and a new trust and a new confidence in you, I want to pray that with you on today. Come to the altar. I'm not doubting your salvation. You're not doubting your salvation, but your trust in God has been compromised, and you want to let God know from this day forward, it shall not be anymore. I wanted you to come this way. Anybody? Hallelujah. God, we thank you right now for those that are coming. We believe you right now to be a healer. We believe you to be a deliverer. But most of all, we thank you just for who you are. And because of who you are, as they make their way down, hallelujah, as they make their way down to the altar right now, as we pray, we ask that you would help them finish strong. We thank you right now. We just gonna turn our, and as they come, God, as they slip out of the aisles and make their way to the altar, we are praying on their behalf. We're praying with them and for them that, God, you are the finisher. You are the doctor. You are the healer. You are the lawyer. You are, God, we thank you that you are everything that we need. The Bible says, I am. You are the I am that I am. Whatever we need you to be, you are, God. We thank you that because of who you are, we are here, God, and we thank you that we shall finish strong because we recognize and have faith in who you are. God, we've doubted you. We didn't trust you because we thought we had to have it all together. But we thank you, God, even in the midst of our imperfections, you are still perfect. That, God, you exchange our weakness for your strength. So we ask that you would bless every person at this altar and in the pews, God, who needs a stronger sense of who you are in their lives. We thank you that from this day forward, you shall move us forward. We shall not worry about how we started the race. We shall not worry about how we ran the race. We shall worry from this day forward how we finish. We are moving forward. We press toward the mark for the high calling which is in Christ Jesus. We thank you now for what you're going to do for these your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Bless you.
Doors of the church are open. If there's one that would want to come